I think I only spoke up because you're speaking about the future. But this team has no future. We all know that.
So hello and welcome to All Four Quarters, your one-stop shop for news, views, and overreactions to all things NFL. The mock draft is here, and your team is now on the clock. So hey, we got Connor here, we got Ronan.
Hello.
And we got Sean.
Hello.
How are we getting on, lads? Much crack since I was chatting to you last?
Not really, no. The dog is being quite affectionate at the moment, which is a strange one.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Which is making it difficult to do the podcast. But,
My one was barking downstairs earlier, so it's the opposite end.
I was about to say, Bill Belichick's dog was actually didn't really work out getting Bill Belichick's dog to become lead of his draft board. But anyway, I've got the Rolodex out, got Kevin Costner's number out, so I'm pretty happy I'm going to get
it. Excellent, Jay. In preparation for this, I did actually watch Draft Day this week, so.
Yeah.
We're good to go. I believe the thing I learned from that is that second round picks are worthless.
I also learned that, there was the warning last podcast about Devondre Sweat being too much of a party boy. But if your prospect goes to parties and no one shows up, that's also a major red flag. So you need a Goldilocks level of has fun parties, but not too fun parties if you're going to be picking an elite prospect in the NFL.
So we are recording this. There hasn't been any major news since the last podcast, so we haven't heard anything about people falling out windows or smoking gas mask bongs or anything, so we're going to base our calls on this. The way we're going to run through this is we'll go through our picks in order. We do have some differences because we've decided that we're going to have trades, mostly because we'd done it without trades, and then we all looked at it and said, well, this isn't going to happen this way. So there'll be a couple of little fiddly bits, but we'll all have our selections. We have a tiebreaker mock that we use for what we kind of come together as our quote-unquote consensus pick. So essentially, whatever we can cobble together as if all three of us were just at each other's throats in a war room selecting for every team, what would happen? And we'll come up with scores and stuff like that afterwards.
I think we should upsell this, Connor. Like, obviously, we should just pretend, or sorry, not pretend. We should, it's our AI... our AI consensus mock draft, which will be all of the markets, of course.
And if you want access to our AI consensus mock draft, follow us on Patreon, or I don't know how that stuff works, to be honest. Like and subscribe in Bitcoins. Very good. Okay, so we'll kick off the draft straight away. In at the top, we've got the Bears. None of us are trading the first overall pick, and we're all taking...
Carolina were,
yeah. And I'm sure they're fucking annoyed about it at this stage because we're all universally taking Caleb Williams. So the pick is in. The Bears are selecting Caleb Williams, first overall quarterback. Obviously, there's kind of in-depth on a lot of these guys on our previous pod when we kind of talked about all the draft prospects. But, like, this guy is kind of universally the first overall pick. It just makes perfect sense. This is a team that has gotten rid of their old quarterback because they knew this guy was coming in, coming out of USC. There's nothing really more to say about him, is there?
Yeah, I can't see the Bears after giving away Justin Fields to and someone generational like Caleb Williams being on the board. I think it would be a mistake even beyond the Bears' capacity, and they are an organization with the capacity for making mistakes to trade down or pick someone else. I can't see them making that mistake. I think they almost certainly will. And if they do, it will go down as one of the big mistakes if the Bears move out or pick Drake May or Jaden Daniels or something.
They need to be offered just an incredible haul to be even considering it.
You're starting at like three. Even for the Commanders, you're probably starting at like three first rounders.
Yeah.
So he's going to the Bears. Yeah. If this is wrong, everyone's wrong. 99% of mock drafts have this happening. So
yeah,
we talked about last time. He's really, really good. He has Patrick Mahomes upside. Take the guy, and hopefully he'll be the first. He'll be the guy that, like, similar to what Peyton Manning did for Indianapolis, suddenly turned him into a team that you can actually watch and enjoy every Sunday.
Yeah. Next up on the clock is the Commanders. This is a team that's going to go quarterback here. The question is just which one. Myself and Fitz both think it's going to be Jaden Daniels, and Sean believes it's going to be Drake May. brief explanation for the Jaden Daniels thing. This is new ownership trying to turn the page. We talked about in the last pod how Jaden Daniels is a very electric playmaker, someone that you can probably put in and start winning games relatively quickly with. It might not be the best long-term option. I would personally prefer May overall, but Daniels makes sense for what they're trying to do in Washington, and that's why I'm going with him.
If you think day one what they were like when they entered the league, would you rather have had Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen? And I think you would have preferred to have Lamar Jackson because his ridiculous superstar skill with legs. And I think Jaden Daniels is a great passer, especially outside as well. So he's no slouch in that department. Mm. It's just for a coach in Dan Quinn, who obviously was not the first option, as I said last time, who probably realized the leash is pretty short, get the guy in who's more experienced, who's probably not as likely to get overawed, and has, you know, just better overall mechanics, less upside, as we said, and obviously there's some risks in terms of the injury profile, but I can understand why they're going that way. I think if they had more faith as an organization that they're going to be there for the long term, I think Drake May might be the right choice.
This is an ownership group that has been known in its previous endeavors to cut bait relatively quickly with staff and players if they feel it's not working. So I feel there's more pressure on the Commanders to get immediate results than there is on the standard team picking it too.
So Sean is completely right that Drake May would be a very good pick here, a very reasonable pick. But, you know, maybe it's just a bias from the Snyder era. But, you know, making the right pick doesn't even feel like what the Commanders would do overall.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth on this. And basically there's three factors in play when you're doing a mock draft. It's what you think will happen, what you want to happen, and what ought to happen. And certainly what I want to happen is that Drake May drops to three and the Patriots take him. And there is every possibility the Commanders will, as you say, go for the kind of Jaden Daniels kind of explosive guy we don't need to work on option. But I just, the ethicist within me was like, Drake May is the second best quarterback in this draft, therefore he will go with the second pick. And so I got stuck with it. I was partly motivated by being right about CJ Stroud last year when the Panthers weren't. Like, everyone, there was like a late surge last year where everyone went to, but Bryce Young moved out as number one ahead of CJ Stroud, even though I thought Stroud was the better option. And this same thing is happening now with Daniels. Kind of the trend is towards Daniels going number two. And I was like, no, stick to the fundamentals and stick with Drake May. Therefore, history will judge me. Will justify me as being correct.
Very good.
Sean sounds like he's ready to take command.
Yeah.
I'm hedging. Best of both worlds. Either I'm right and
you get good
the right
in the picks,
pick, or I'm wrong and the Pats get Drake May. So either way, I win.
Yeah. Obviously, that covers off our analysis of pick three. The Patriots are here. They obviously have a lot of holes to fill on their roster. They've got a new coach in place and everything. But this is a spot where I think there will be a lot of phones ringing, a lot of offers of, oh, we'll trade up, we'll give you multiples. And you'll see the trades start pretty soon after this. But, you know, we can see the Vikings, the Giants, lots of teams like that. If they had more draft capital, the Broncos, the Raiders looking to shift up here. But we're all sticking with the Patriots staying at three and taking the opposite. So me and Ronan have them taking Drake May and you have them taking Jaden Daniels. And for the exact same reasons as we said, these are the top three prospects. The two and the three are probably the biggest movement areas. And you've kind of explained there, Sean, why you have them in that order. Four is where it gets interesting. So the fourth pick belongs to the Cardinals. And universally, we did complete one of these where the Cardinals stay in that position. And we said they would, if they stay in that position, take Marvin Harrison Jr., the top wide receiver off the board. We have three different teams picking in this spot. Sean has the Cardinals staying there and taking Marvin Harrison Jr. Ronan, you have the Vikings trading up and I have the Giants trading up.
So, obviously, it would be a much easier job for the Giants, given that they're only at number six. And at that point, the Cardinals would still be guaranteed to get one of the top two receivers, most likely, unless the Giants are trading up for a wide receiver for some reason. That doesn't really make sense. With Daniel Jones as your quarterback. You imagine if you're going to pay the price, you're going to get a quarterback. Obviously, the hype has been building the entire offseason for JJ McCarthy, someone who makes a lot of sense for guys who are QB whisperers, people who think that they can, you know, really get these guys to do exactly what they want and, you know, they will kind of paint the picture that they see in their head onto the field. And JJ McCarthy, even though he played for a powerhouse team and wasn't asked to do much at the college level, the one thing he definitely showed he can do is that he can do the quick decisions. He can throw across the middle, do all the Shanahan, Brock Purdy type stuff. You know, he's very young, so there's a lot of room to develop, and he might be someone that ideally you wouldn't have to start year one, or at least maybe just start straight out of the gate. And, you know, for the Giants, maybe you start with Daniel Jones still and you let JJ McCarthy compete, and then, you know, he beats him, then that probably wouldn't take too long. And then for the Vikings, similar with Sam Darnold. But like, I think McCarthy's stock is going all up, so it kind of feels like right now McCarthy is unlikely to get out of the top five or six at the very most.
Yeah.
So, you know, Vikings, they obviously have already traded up to get a second first round pick. They got the two first round picks plus maybe a first rounder next year to make that big leap from pick 11 up to pick 5. It's a big leap. It's going to be costly, but that's a team ready to rock right now. They have Justin Jefferson, who they're about to give a bunch of money to. They have a good offensive line.
Yeah,
they have
they're built with the need for a for a quarterback.
Like, maybe they'll be patient, but, you know, if they were patient, why'd they trade all that stuff to get the second first round pick to have these weapons? Yeah. So I think they're going to get it done, and I think JJ McCarthy's a good fit for a Kevin O'Connell offense. Yeah. And, you know, I don't need to see Sam Darnold. Like,
I'm with you. I initially had the Vikings trading up into this spot, but then I was looking at it and kind of going, well, the Cardinals, what do they need? And like I said, the fact that they will get a top two wide receiver just going down two spaces was what swung it for me in the end. Sean, you've got him taking Marvin Harrison Jr., the top wide receiver on the board.
Yeah, I just felt that obviously, the Cardinals are going to get a lot of calls in this spot, and they've every reason to move down. But I think they can't pass on Marvin Harrison Jr., a generational talented wide receiver. They have no receiver talent whatsoever. I don't even know who their wide receiver was at the moment. I think like Michael Wilson or something. Yeah. Like, it's like they absolutely can't drop the ball. And I think given Harrison, I think he's comfortably better than, say, Malik Nabers. I think they probably want to be in that position and take it. And as a result, I think they won't trade out of it because of how valuable the pick is. And I think then for me, the trade scenario becomes the complication between how high the Vikings feel they need to go to ensure they get JJ McCarthy and what the Giants will do. The Giants are at 6.
Yeah.
So for me, it was like, I felt that the Vikings have enough room to get into a trade without, you know, selling the farm to the Cardinals. So the Cardinals will be happy to take their pick, and then the trade madness will happen after that, was my analysis of the narrative there.
Perfect, yeah. So next up then, it's the Chargers pick. I have the Chargers staying there and them going, well, I guess if he's there, so they take Marvin Harrison Jr. at that point. Ronan, you have... Actually, no, we'll go with Sean, because Sean's trade is a little bit more easy to understand. So Sean, you said that this is the point the Vikings move up to.
Yeah, I think the Vikings have two first-round picks primarily so that they can move into a top five. At first, the first time I did this, it was like it was going to be JJ McCarthy will have to drop to 11, and I was like, it just will not happen. Mm-hmm. So the Vikings will move up, and I think the Chargers, because they have Justin Herbert, and there's not if Marvin Harrison is gone, there's not necessarily a must-have pick on the board at that point. I think they'll be willing to trade away for the two first-round picks. So
yeah.
Vikings get 5 and Chargers get 11, and I think it's 23, and they go for JJ McCarthy. I think that's the simplest one. I think Roland gets into a bit of a convoluted system ensure that the Cardinals end up with Marvin Harrison, whereas my system is just a lot simpler.
So let's walk through. So Roland has the Vikings trading up and giving those picks to the Chargers, probably alongside
This is a question I do have, Ron. The logic is the Vikings take the pick off the Cardinals and then the Cardinals trade it to the Chargers, or do the Vikings go up to 5 to the Chargers and then try and make a move for 4?
The sequence of events is that the Vikings trade both their first rounders and probably like a future first rounder and probably another like day 2 pick maybe in this year. Because it's going to be expensive to get the Cardinals pick. I don't doubt that. And maybe the price will be slightly low for the Chargers, but who knows if they're willing to risk that, basically. Because some other people will be obviously ringing the phone of the Chargers, and obviously the Giants are very much in play. The Broncos are in play. The Cardinals and the Chargers are going to have a lot of people ringing their phone, even if JJ McCarthy is gone at number 4. So the way I have it is that the Cardinals will trade down and get both first-round picks plus a future first-rounder and maybe like a second-day pick this year to make that big move from 11 to 12, something like that. I think the Cardinals will then basically give back both of those Vikings picks to the Chargers to get back up to one pick behind, and they'll be able to net like the day two pick,
the extra bits off the Vikings.
And they're happy enough because they already have an extra first rounder in this draft already, as we'll talk about later on. So that's how I see it. Like, you know, they'll give up basically what the Vikings did in the first round, more or less, maybe like some make weight like fourth rounder to make it work, but then they'll keep the extras basically. And it's kind of similar to what they did last year, not exactly the same, but last year, you know, they traded down from number three with the Texans, who then picked Will Anderson, and then they traded back up to take Paris Johnson at number six with the Rams, I believe. So, you know, they've done something before. I'm probably too over-influenced because, like, there was this video on Twitter of Monty Osford on the phone, and he just looked like draft day. He's like, I got this phone and this phone and this board, and like, just he looked like a Wheeler dealer. So maybe it's not as dramatic as this, because obviously it's quite expensive to go from 11 back up to 5 in this case. But, you know, I am playing the game of the mock draft a bit, because I do think if the Cardinals can get Marvin Harrison Jr., they're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. because I think Kyler Murray can't really throw across the middle. So we've seen that at his best, he was with DeAndre Hopkins, a guy you could just, you know, go and get it, DeAndre. I think Marvin Harrison has that same profile, a classic X receiver he can just throw the ball up to and look good with that. So it would make sense for him compared to, say, like a Malik Nabers.
But so far,
would it be an okay fit if they can't get Marvin Harrison?
So far, we've got the same five players going in the top five. We've just got some of them going to different teams. We're on to the sixth one. We're going to have six of the same players going. We've just got them going to different teams. So I've got the Cardinals here having traded with the Giants. You guys have the Giants with their original picks. We've all gone for Malik Nabers here. Kind of, you know, the second/third, depending on which one you prefer, out of the wide receivers. Similar reasons to yourself, Fitz, wanting the Cardinals to go up and get Marvin Harrison Jr. I think Malik Nabers with the speed element would work well with what the Cardinals want to do on offense and what they've got at the quarterback position. But just overall, this is a good top-end wide receiver, and the Giants need a top-end wide receiver. The Cardinals need a top-end wide receiver. My concern with the Giants is just they have no one to be throwing the ball to him, but that's sorted in my one with them having JJ McCarthy instead. But Malik Nabers goes at six across the board. We're all unified at seven. We've got the Titans staying in place, and we've got the Titans taking the top overall tackle prospect, Joe Alt, who we talked about in depth in the last podcast, but, you know, just great, solid, maybe a little bit too tall, but just overall great offensive tackle, help shore up that line, particularly because I think they spent, was a first round pick on a guard last year, that'll kind of combine to help them build a very good line and support the young quarterback they've got there.
It's a boring pick, but this is a team that, you know, they spent the big money on Calvin Ridley. They have a quarterback that I think at least they're going to see if he's a franchise guy this year, in Will Levis. And you get the best left tackle, and their offensive line has just been a complete joke for the last 2 years. Just get it in, fit it in, and, you know, get that system moving towards something where maybe Will Levis won't be getting hit all of the time. So it just makes a lot of sense.
The Titans, I think, are caught in a spot where their quarterback is, they don't have the Daniel McCarthy thing where the quarterback is kind of, they know he's a bust and can move on. They still have a little bit of hope that Will Levis will work out, so they can't really trade up. And the rest of the wide the elite wide receivers are gone at this point. So I think it's just the best option available. Take an offensive lineman. I think they drafted an offensive lineman in the first round last year as well.
Yeah, it was a guard,
so you're kind of,
I think,
bulking up. Yeah. You're bulking up there. So I think it's a solid move for the Titans, given what they have. There is a possibility they could move down, given that there are other quarterbacks and other teams looking for quarterbacks. So that might be one to look at if the Titans trade down in order to get maybe a multiple lower picks.
Yeah, and this would be a good draft for them to do that, as we talked, this depth at a lot of positions that they would need, including tackle. And someone trading up is probably not trading up for a tackle, so if they could get kind of an in-betweeny spot, that would be great. We're unified on eight as well. Falcons decide, well, we've got enough pieces on offense, and we've now got a quarterback, so let's turn our attention to the defense. They take the top edge rusher on our board, Dallas Turner. So that makes sense to me. They've got every skill position filled, so they might as well start on the defense.
Yeah, look, this is a team that's been lacking in an elite pass rusher for a long time, and they'll hope that Dallas Turner can turn into them for that. As I said, it's initially probably going to be, you know, maybe not an every down player, but, you know, on the money downs, when you want to get to the quarterback, he should hopefully get them to the next level and, you know, start getting to the, to be honest, not that impressive set of opposing quarterbacks in the NFC South.
Yeah. Next up, we have the Bears, and we all reckon that they, you know, they've got Caleb Williams, and they want to give him a weapon. So you guys have gone wide receiver with Roma Dunze. I've gone tight end with Brock Bowers. I think the logic here is pretty much the same. It's that you want to add weapons to it, give Caleb Williams the best position he can be in. I think they've got WR1 already. I think high quality tight end like Brock Bowers is a good building piece, particularly given that you'll have these guys on rookie contracts. I can see the value of a wide receiver here as well, and actually I would wonder if you might start to see some phone calls coming into the Bears about this pick as well.
For sure. And like, you know, it's not like maybe they should go for an offensive lineman. I'm sure Matt Eberflus would love to get some defensive talent here, but I think, you know, year one, you're the Bears. You've fucked up every quarterback in the history of your franchise. You've only ever won because, despite, you know, what you did to your quarterback, not because of them. You know, let's put everything around with them. And, like, there are some decent defensive linemen available, but, like, Roma Dunze, Brock Bowers, these are, like, guys. You know, Roma Dunze could easily be a wide receiver one in a different draft. Brock Bowers could is the tight end one and would be tight end one in many drafts. Just get the elite guys, add an extra weapon. Now you have DJ Moore. Now you have Keenan Allen. Now you have Brock Bowers and Roma Dunze. Now you got yourself a stew, and let Caleb Williams rock the NFL world. rather than, you know, don't get cute, don't get boring, take an elite player, make this guy really sing.
Very good.
Yeah, the pairing up, I mean, you think about the Bengals, albeit they did it in two different drafts of getting the elite quarterback and then the elite wide receiver. I just kind of feel the Bears are going to try and do that, kind of pair up the young team and start to have a real good offensive core you can then start to build around.
Yeah, I had an interesting one where I was considering having the Bears trade up to 5 or 6 to take Marvin Harrison if he was still available at that point and pairing the two of them, which would be very exciting, but I'm not sure.
The biggest problem for them is that they actually have very few picks in this draft. They have these two high ones, and then I think they have 2 or 3 other picks overall in the rest of the draft, so it would be difficult for them unless they went to the future, and this feels like a team that, you know, they're already plenty in for this year. You know, I think just picking the best player available. And I said, you know, good offense beats good defense every time. So with these elite players, like if Odunze or Brock Bowers are falling, you know, just do the right thing. Help your guy out.
Yeah. So next up, we have the Jets at 10. You guys are sending Brock Bowers to the Jets. I think that's a great fit. I think nice to add an extra weapon, and he's a good developmental piece for whoever's coming in behind Aaron Rodgers afterwards. I have going in after.
Are you implying that this year won't go well for the Jets?
I'm not saying. What I'm saying is they can't be expecting Aaron Rodgers to be playing there in 3 years' time when Brock Bowers is still going to be on his rookie contract.
Like, Jared Verse.
I've got them going Jared Verse, the edge rusher. The Jets have been crying out for someone to get sacks, and Jared Verse gets a lot of sacks. He can plug in straight away and play for them. I like the offensive move as well, because I think both of these are ones that will allow impact in year one, but will help. But either would provide building pieces for them in the kind of longer term, like, as well. So
I think I only spoke up because you're speaking about the future. But this team has no future. We all know that. This is all about the Aaron Rodgers. You know, says crazy things. We hope.
But I mean, that's not true. They do actually have a really good young, like, skill core. So they actually do have a future.
That's great. Like,
that's a positive externality. Like, this team, this GM, this head coach, this quarterback, it's all about me. It's all about them. And Brock Bowers is obviously in our draft. Like, if Roma Dunze falls, if Brock Bowers falls, if, like, Malik Nabers somehow falls, like, you know, I think they are going to pick that up and go, look, Aaron Rodgers, here's some more weapons. We got you Mike Williams. You got Garrett Wilson. You got Breece Hall in the backfield. Like, just give him everything.
Well, this is kind of my thing. I do think the Jets are kind of fairly stacked at a lot of the skill positions at the moment. I think Brock Bowers fits, but I have Brock Bowers is off the table on my one, and I don't think they're going wide receiver there.
Yeah, I don't think they'll pick a wide receiver if that's the best option, but I think if Brock Bowers at tight end.
I don't think that would be the right thing to do, but it kind of feels like the smell of want on this team is pretty bad. I think if saner minds hold, I would not be surprised if they just pick up, you know, the best offensive lineman available, like Talese Fuaga or Foshanu, because they do need help in that area still. Like, I know they signed Trent.
But the Jets always have at least one, and normally two offensive linemen go down often before the season starts, and they've got a lot of age on that.
I just get the sense everyone in this organization, or the main decision makers in the organization, are all like, we got to make this work. Just pick the person who will make Aaron Rodgers work best.
But remember, like, this is a very, very good defense, and the defense that kept them in things, and it's a defensive-minded head coach. And yeah, like, I think Brock Bowers makes sense, but if Brock's
I think the pressure is on for the Jets to work offensively now. I think especially if Robert Saleh has any kind of influence on draft picks, he's going to want them to be stacking offensive talent, because he knows his job is at stake if that the offense doesn't work next year.
Next up is 11. This was originally the Vikings pick for both Ronan and Sean, but for different reasons, this is the Chargers pick. And for me, I have another trade happening where the Vikings have this pick, but they decide they're not in love with any of the quarterbacks that are available at the moment at this point. But you know who is? The Raiders. The Raiders are looking down the line and they go, well, the Broncos are just ahead of us and they're looking for a QB. So I have them jumping two places, taking the Vikings pick and grabbing themselves quarterback Bo Nix, whereas you guys have the Chargers there, and I think this makes perfect sense for the Chargers going offensive line. So one of you chat us through Fuaga.
Well, I will say that I think this, there is a possibility, given the whole Broncos Raiders, and there'll be a couple of QBs here, but you probably want Bo Nix if you're going to have a starter, that this is a pick again that the Chargers might move down, or Vikings, or whoever ends up having this pick might end up moving down, because I think it could become valuable because the Raiders might try and gazump the Broncos. But in terms of Chargers, obviously you're trying to build a new thing, and you know, protect your elite quarterback would probably be something the Chargers might want to consider doing at some point.
And he loves the run game, and he wants to have some tone setters in the run game as well. So
yeah, I think like objectively, like there are different picks that can be made here, but I do think it's one of those situations where, like, I think Harbaugh wants to change the culture of this team, and he needs bully guys, and Fuaga is one of those bully. Like, Fountain would be another good fit here. There's guys who are going to change the tenor of what it means to be a Charger. That's what they're
into. Yeah, I mean, that is true. Fuaga does have the kind of the intangible character thing you see a lot of his sheets, that they talk about him as being a good locker room leader, and I imagine Harbaugh is all into that kind of shit, so it makes sense in that regard as well.
And I think even if they were to stick and pick at five, I wouldn't be surprised if they went for like a Joe Alt over
Marvin Harrison,
he's a better, Marvin Harrison's the better player, but it's like, it's all about what we want this team to be.
Well, this
even though they don't have any wide receivers left.
My original mock was the Chargers taking Joe Alt at five, and then the Bears are able to push up to six to take Harrison Jr. But I think the Raiders would be particularly happy with this, just moving two spots and being able to jump the Broncos, because they get a quarterback and they also get to screw over a divisional rival. So we come to pick 12. The Broncos have this pick for you guys. They start with that pick for me, and Peyton and Patton are sitting there and they think they've got their quarterback for you guys. So they get Bo Nix, who I've just had the Raiders jump them for.
Yeah. Sean Payton, you know, it's biased because, of course, how it ended with Drew Brees and the way they were playing, but kind of a more of a, you know, joystick-type quarterback, someone who's going to do exactly what Sean Payton wants him to do, you know, has enough athletic ability. He can get outside the pocket, make some plays, you know, on the run, a bit Tony Romo-ish. Bo Nix fits what he wants to do. Like, the other option is Michael Penix, but Michael Penix just feels like a more, you know, get out there, throw the ball deep, you know, shred and spread. That doesn't feel...
That's
like,
not a Payton kind of...
Yeah, I think that's not the level of control he wants. He, like, you know, early on in Drew's career, he did do more of the deep stuff, but I don't know, Nix feels like a slightly better fit for what Peyton has done for the latter half of his career, it feels like. So we'll go with Nix, but, like, you know, Broncos pretty desperate for a quarterback, so it's hard to see them not going for a quarterback at some point early on in this draft.
Yeah, so I have the Broncos sitting there, pissed off that the Raiders have jumped ahead of them and gotten Bo Nix, who they had their heart set on. They're struggling a little bit. They're like, oh, there is a wide receiver there, but they don't have anyone to throw to him. And there's a couple of teams who are interested, given that Adunze has fallen this far in my draft. So the Colts, who are only three picks back from them, give them a ring, and the Broncos look at it and say, okay, we can load up on a couple of little picks further down, and we can maybe use those to do something a little bit later on. So the Colts trade up and they take Rome Odunze at 12, who's a lot further down than you would have expected him to have gone at this point, but I had some movement for quarterbacks and stuff like that.
Help out the young quarterback with another big weapon alongside Michael Pittman. I think that would be a great outcome for the Colts.
Well, this is the thing. I think the Colts are looking at it going, well, this is how we set up our offense, because they've proven that Pittman was able to carry the load because he was getting tons of targets at the tail end of last year. But now add another potential number one style player there, and you're really, you know, you got yourself a stew. Next up is the Raiders at 13. So I have the Vikings with this pick at this point, because they traded with the Raiders again so they could move up. Now I'm kind of with Sean in terms of what's available here. Both me and Sean have Terrion Arnold, the cornerback, coming off the board at this point, the first cornerback off the board, and you, Ronan, have the Raiders going offensive line and getting Fashanu.
Yeah, like for me, like the Raiders feel like a team. They have a lot of holes on the offensive line and defensive backfield. They'll ideally go BPA. Fashanu, I think, fits well. I don't think there are teams expecting to win in like 2024, but they're hoping to make progress under Antonio Pierce. And Fashanu has that, you know, very high ceiling, as we talked about last time. So he's a reasonable pick here. But, you know, Antonio Pierce is a defensive guy. So if he went for like the best player available in the defense, which very reasonably we consider to be Terrion Arnold or Aquinion Mitchell, that would also make a lot of sense. So I'm a bit surprised with you, Connor. This is obviously the Vikings ended up going all the way down there anyway with Terrion Arnold. You end up with the Vikings not having a quarterback, and obviously they have another pick, which is also not a quarterback. Like, you think the Sam Darnold era, like, is the Sam Darnold era going to happen?
I think they might go with a developmental guy a little bit further back, is my guess. Sure. I think because I've had them trying to trade up to get up into the top four, but not getting it. That the Cardinals decided that they still wanted a top wide receiver, so they did the swap with the Giants instead. And then the guys weren't going to move up too far for Bo Nix. He wasn't necessarily a perfect fit for what they were after. So they're going to pick up a developmental guy afterwards, or they might see if there's anyone who might be wanting to trade someone in a bit. But yeah, I think the Vikings don't get what they want out of this one.
And you think Terrion Arnold has the right edge for Antonio Pierce, what he likes in a footballer?
Well, I do. I'm a little bit wary about this pick because I do think the Raiders might freak out here and maybe go for Michael Penix or something to get that quarterback thing sorted. It's like Terrion Arnold, I mean, there is the defensive-minded head coach, but he is a kind of a developmental talent to a certain extent. I mean, this positioning stuff, he'll need to be coached. And the Raiders probably aren't the best team to be doing that, so maybe this is not the pick that ought to be. Like, for me, it is kind of a best player available / best defensive player available phenomenon, but I don't know if it's the landing of the Raiders would be the best spot for Arnold. But that doesn't mean they're not going to do it. I mean, this is the problem with draft. There's so many different variables, and each team is crazy in its own particular way. I think if the Raiders are smart and they want to start to build they picked up that guy on the front end of the defense in free agency. So there is definitely an attempt to build a defense, and Arnold would be a good part of the secondary in terms of that. But it's uncertain as though the Raiders would A, be smart enough to do this, and B, would be able to develop him. So a lot of question marks over it, and do not be surprised if they freak out and decide to take Michael Penix in this spot.
Yeah, like I think I had them in the no trade one. I had them taking quarterback at this point. 14 is the Saints. I've got them going. Me and Sean have both got them going offensive lineman with best player available. Fashanu for Sean, Fuaga for me. We've kind of talked about both of them. And Ronan, you have them going defense with Jared Verse, who's off the board for me already, but it's kind of pure pass rush kind of thing. Got a lot of sacks in college. And the Saints, their defense hasn't really been looking up to old snuff, so.
This is a draft board thing. Like, they are very much in need of offensive line help, for sure. Obviously, Ryan Ramczyk is dealing with a severe injury. They've drafted some high offensive linemen. They haven't worked out. So if Fashanu or Fuaga were there, I would have a very high chance that I would pick them as well. But in this case, both those guys are off, and they're not willing to kind of pony up to overdraft a Latham or a Fantanu. So they do need help. Like, the Saints need help everywhere. Yeah. And obviously, with Cam getting a bit older, at the edge there, they go for the best, like a really good edge rusher there. And, you know, Dennis Allen is a defensive coach, but yeah, this is one of those picks that's very, I think, will very much depend on who's the best player available and kind of those kind of bulking up either of the lines, I would say.
Yeah. Next up at 15, it's the Colts, although I've got the Broncos because of their trade with the Colts. But we've all got the same player going at this point. Next cornerback off the board, Quinyon Mitchell. We got that just for all of us. Makes perfect sense for the Colts. They were sniffing around the cornerback market in free agency and looking at trades for it. They weren't able to get the deal done. So now they add Quinyon Mitchell to that side of the ball. The Broncos, they're a bit, you know, pissed off still that they weren't able to get what they wanted, but they got to move back and pick up some resources and they get to add a cornerback. And they're a franchise that tends to like having a lot of cornerbacks and develop them. So I can see that fitting in for them there. And the
Colts need outside cornerback help at some point. Yeah. Mitchell's a very good player, so they take the op here.
At 16, the Seahawks. We all agree on this one. Do you want to talk us through this, Fitz, as they are your team? We've all got them going with Troy Fontenot.
This is definitely one of those, like, you know, putting things together, 2 + 2 = 4. Fontenot, they have a gap in their interior offensive line. Fontenot could be a tackle long term, but he definitely could be an impact immediately on the inside. He plays tough and hard, and you can imagine that's what the new head coach McDonald will want to bring over from Baltimore. And Ryan Grubbs, the OC, was the offensive coordinator for Washington last year at the college level, and that's the college that Fontenot is coming from. So if you connect all those dots together, that's probably why Fontenot is getting, you know, a little bit more higher percentage assignment here, despite being a mid-round pick and, you know, a new head coach and not knowing. So I think people, in the absence of any information with a new head coach, it's like, the OC's from Washington, this guy's from Washington, he's a good player, let's improve that interior offensive line, which is a need.
Yeah, because let's be honest, your quarterback was getting battered a bit last year, particularly in the second half. We're into the second half of the draft. The Jags are up next. I have them going edge rusher in Latu to kind of add to that defensive front. You have them, Ronan, going cornerback with Terry and Arnold. And Sean has them going offense with Brian Thomas Jr. Looking at this, I think Sean might have this right.
It's one of those weird things that kind of just feels like a Jags pick. I think they do have quite a number of wide receivers at the moment, but I do think they probably still are looking to upgrade if they can.
Like they lost who was meant to be their one because of the weird trade clause for the upping the compensation.
Yeah, and obviously at this point the really elite wide receivers are off the board and the next bunch are all kind of mixed together. I've seen in terms of online analyses and kind of blogs and stuff, people like Adonai Mitchell and even Keon Coleman are being suggested possibly going here. But Brian Thomas, I mean, I think the stats are behind him. He most touchdowns in college football last year. He's got the versatility to play anywhere. He's got good speed. He kind of feels like a Jags type player, if you know what I mean. And he maybe gives them a little bit of spark that they don't necessarily have. It just felt, it was one of those things the universe was calling to me and telling me that this was a Jagsy type pick. So I decided to go for it. But that said, on the defensive end, they do need a lot of help defensively. So you can, I can definitely see them going that way as well.
Yeah, like, they're a team that has a surprising number of needs for a team that obviously thought they were going to be competing last year. Didn't turn out that way after the Lawrence injury. So I do think, like, this is a BPA type situation. I think Brian Thomas, you know, obviously they're lacking in that kind of proper wide receiver one. Christian Kirk maybe can fill that role. So I think Brian Thomas Jr. was a good shout. I think all of these are good shouts, but obviously we're into that part of the draft where it depends on who's still left.
Yeah. And so this is where we're going to diverge massively, you know, with one or two unusual exceptions. But yeah, the Bengals are one of those exceptions. We've all got them taking JC Latham. This is a team that obviously saw what happened when they didn't have their starting quarterback last year. The ongoing constant rebuild of this line to try and keep themselves safe. Latham appears to be a little bit more of a run kind of blocker, but I think they'd like to add a little bit more of that into the game. They've obviously lost their starting running back in a trade in the offseason, but I think just line makes sense and this is best player available.
Yeah, like that's the way it fell in all our boards, but you know, you could see, you know, like you had Fashanu, maybe he could have went there, other people might have had Fountnow, whoever, but like, yeah, I think Bengals, very high chance to take offensive line. They are a sneaky team that goes BPA, so if you see like one of these, like say Brock Bowers, due to positional value, somehow dropped it this way, maybe they pick up a Brock Bowers and help out Joe Burrow a little bit more.
The thing is, if Brock Bowers has fallen down this far, there's a couple of teams further down that I think trade up if he gets to like 14, 15.
So I think the natural thing that'll happen is that like there's a good amount of offensive linemen in the first round, but it does drop off a bit once you get to the like day two guys. So I think the natural pick will be offensive line, and JC Latham is the obvious one in the way our board's dropped.
Yeah. Next up is the Rams. Myself and Ronan have looked at the Rams and said, what's missing from previous years? Ah, yes, the best interior defensive player in the league. So they try and find a bit of coverage, and we've both got him taking Byron Murphy. Sean, Sean, you've got them going edge rusher in Latu. So basically in all cases here, we're saying defensive, try and replace what's going to be lost in Aaron Donald. Obviously, it's not going to happen easily or most likely with a single player, but that's what they're going to go after. The one thing that I have been seeing a lot online about is that this will be the Rams' first-round pick in 8 years. And wow, the idea that Sean McVay finally gets to make his first ever first-round pick in Ghost defense is a bit gutting, I'd imagine, for him.
Well, I mean, he does. I mean, it is. They do have a good kind of coaching staff, and you know, he's got defensive guys that want to coach them up. I can certainly. The Rams aren't. They're not a crazy. Well, they are a crazy organization in trying to sell it all to win one. To win one Super Bowl, but I trust them that they'll know what they do. And I picked Latu because I think he's got an awful lot of, obviously the injury thing, and we don't know, and we're outsiders, so we don't necessarily know the neck injury thing, how bad it is, but I think he's got a huge amount of skill set and a lot of NFL potential, and I can see that the coaching team looking at kind of molding him into the next big star. The other thing I did think was a bit of a kind of an intangible. He played for UCLA, so it's quite possible the guys have watched him just casually going to a college game or something. So that may be the kind of edge that goes over. But I think, even on a psychological level, an Aaron Donald replacement is not the worst idea for the Rams in terms of what they do going forward, or attempting to do that anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. We got the Steelers up next. I have them going tackle in Fashanu because he's still on my board. And I think particularly given the mixed grab bag of quarterbacks they have, it might not be the worst thing in the world to get someone to keep them upright and something to help the running game they're going to be leaning on. You've gone similar, Sean. You've got interior of the line and you've gone for Powers Johnson. But Ronan, you've gone... Oh yeah,
just to explain that before you go into the Steelers picking white guy thing. Jackson Powers Johnson, he plays center, and I think the Steelers have their centers retired or left or something. So it's a very Steelers pick to be like, he's the best center out there, basically. So stick him in there and build a new thing around that. That was my logic, but
Roland's breaking out the lunch pail.
Yeah, well, look, you know, it's the Steelers. They got an identity. And, you know, I think Mike Tomlin agrees that Cooper DeJean, he's pretty fly for a white guy. This is like the Cooper Cup of the defense. Just very flexible, plays across him. And he's another playmaker. And I think that's a defensive backfield that's playmaker heavy. It's got Minkah Fitzpatrick. It's got Joey Porter Jr. Guys who, yes, sometimes you get behind them when they take a risk too far. But the big plays, the things that they do, especially when obviously you got the guys up front getting consistent pressure, putting quarterbacks under pressure, and then they make the big plays, and Cooper DeJean's a playmaker, and he's fly for a white guy, he runs fast, everyone's doubting him, put him in a Steelers uniform, let him become a cult hero for, you know, the very very normal and not weird fans of Steeler Nation. I don't know, this was one of my nexus points. I'm just like, I put him in before loads of these players around him. I'm just like, just feels like a Steelers pick. It could be an Eagles type pick, it could be another pick, but I don't know, something about this match just felt right to me. I just had to go with it.
Yeah, we got the Dolphins up next. So you guys have decided to bolster their interior offensive line with Graham Barton.
Yeah, like they're desperate for offensive line help, and probably the best offensive lineman. I think Jackson Powers Johnson and him are kind of roughly around the same spot. If an elite, like one of the top guys, like Latham or Fountainu or Fashanu fell further, I'm sure they would definitely consider him. But in this case, Barton, who I think was a tackle at college, but definitely trends more to be an interior offensive line, is what they're looking at. And they need help basically across their entire line. And it's obviously, you know, that they're about to pay Tua money, so they're going to have to save money somewhere. And that's probably in the offensive line.
Well, that's kind of what my thinking is. Well, so I've got them going Jerzan Newton, the defensive lineman. Obviously, with the money starting to get a little bit tight, they lost Christian Wilkins during the offseason to the Raiders. So I think they need to replace a bit of that production. They're going to hope that Newton will be able to provide that for them. Over to the Eagles next. I have them going defensive back with Cooper DeJean, because when I think of a white cornerback, I think Eagles. No, it's not because of that. It's just because I think
it's another working class team. You know that
it is. But
this
for me,
their boy.
This for me is just that he's my next rated defensive back, and I think that's an area they're going to look at, because you have them, Sean, going defensive back as well with Nate Wiggins, right?
Yeah, I think obviously their defense took a little bit of a step back this year, so they probably might want to spice it up a bit. And I think their cornerbacks are getting a bit old, getting into their 30s. So it's time to bring in some fresh new talent, physicality, speed, skill. He's got a lot to work with, and I think he gets to slot then into a system where he's got a couple of veterans around him to teach him the thing. So it did feel like a bit of an Eagles thing. It's like, yeah, move on to the next generation of cornerbacks while you still have the old guys with you.
Yeah, and you've gone edge rusher, Ronan.
Yeah, Laidu Latu, he falls on my board, and I just, like, the Eagles just, they can never get enough pass rushers, so if a guy like this falls to them, they're like, put him in there, get him some sacks, and just keep the conveyor belt going.
Maybe subconsciously it says something about whether we think it's going to impact him at the NFL level, because I imagine if he was with the Eagles, I'd expect him to succeed, whereas if he's with the Jags, I expect him to not. we'll see. Next up is pick 23, which is the Vikings, although on both of you guys, for different reasons, the Chargers have it. I have the Vikings going offensive line, trying to, you know, we might not have a quarterback, but we'll protect what we do have, and I have them going Jackson Powers Johnson. You guys have the Chargers down at the spot, so Ronan, you've gone defensive line, and
Jerzan, Johnny Newton, in my case,
and, very good. And you've gone for wide receiver there, Sean.
Yeah, Adonai Mitchell, obviously, because in my draft, the Chargers' other pick, they went for offensive line, and they probably still need a little bit of wide receiver help. So, and if Adonai Mitchell is available at this point, I think they feel they need to take him.
I think
it's legitimate, but I don't know. I kind of feel like the Charger, like Harbaugh's going to be like, you know, the line picks will continue until morale improves.
Yeah, it does feel a bit like that, doesn't it? 24 is the Cowboys, and we've
offensive line.
Like they've their line is, we've talked about it for about two or three seasons now. It's been aging. It's not quite what it was. They've literally lost pieces now. So myself
and the Cowboys love offensive linemen. Like it's their entire thing is they love having. Yeah. You know.
And particularly,
well, this is a Stephen Jones in control pick, not a Jerry Jones pick, but this is a good pick.
So we've got Mims, myself and Sean, and you've got Jackson Powers Johnson, Ronan, but we're all just kind of getting line help there, so that makes sense. Packers are up next. The Packers have a big clear need coming out of last year, which is their defensive backfield is not good, so we've all just gone for who we've got as our top rated defensive backs here at this point, which means I've got Kool-Aid coming off and playing with the Packers. You've got Nate Wiggins, Ronan, and Sean's got Cooper DeJean. Do you know what? White cornerback fits Packers real well.
Yeah, it does, doesn't like... it? It just makes sense.
Yeah.
They have a definite need in defensive backfield. And
yeah. And again, they were sniffing around people in free agency and everything, but they just need to keep adding to it because they've got a super young team. They just need to add some more bodies here and hope that they're able to coach them up. Yeah. Buccaneers are up.
I could candidate to trade down and get even more picks and just fill the team with young players as well.
100%, definitely. Buccaneers are up next at 26. I have them going offensive line with Graham Barton, and you guys have them going defensive line with Demaryius Robinson.
Chop Robinson. He's good. And the Bucks need help, I guess. I don't know. I can't remember why I did this pick.
Was it just because Ronan had done it and you're like, fuck it, I don't care?
Quite possibly. It made sense. I don't know what the Bucks need. They're a 9-8 team. I don't know what the hell they need, to be honest.
He's a fairly raw player, if I recall correctly, so that kind of fit, you know, obviously with the head coach they have there, he'll probably be like, I can get the best out of this player. And you know, now they have the gang together, they're gonna go, like, this thing's gonna last forever, man. Like, they're gonna have loads of time to develop this guy into a top pass rusher. I'm not quite as convinced of that, but good luck to them, and their luck with these late round edge rushers will be great, so hopefully they can get a bit more out of Chop here.
Yeah, no, my stance on the Graham Barton one was just, look, they're kind of running it back on offense, and for that to work, they need to give him a bit of time behind that line, and hopefully he'll be able to plug in and help them out there. Cardinals are up next. I have, so in mine, they've already picked up Malik Neighbors for the offensive side, so I then have them going defense and going Nate Wiggins. Ronan?
Yeah, I have Kool-Aid McKinstry. You know, breaking down walls here. But Cardinals have a definite need pretty much everywhere on their team. But I do think that the cornerback is a particular need. And McKinstry, look, I think long-term he projected is kind of your elite forever cornerback one, but I think he's someone who'll be productive for you for many years, and that's just the kind of guys they need to start filling gaps in as they try to, you know, take what was a sunken ship into, you know, slightly above water to hopefully easier seas going forward. So good player, gets a decent, reasonable role in Cardinals.
I've gone for Zerjan, Johnny Newton, partly best player available, but also I think it's a run defense thing. I think the Cardinals have a pretty terrible run defense, and I think he's supposed to help with that. So yeah, I think it makes sense.
Bills are up next. We have them going wide receiver because obviously they've traded away a wide receiver. They have brought some people in during the offseason, but they need more help on that side of the ball. So me and Ronan have Brian Thomas Jr. going. Now, he's already gone in Sean's a little bit earlier, up with the Jags at 17. So you've gone for Troy Franklin. But I think this just makes sense.
The thing about Franklin is players meet teams, and Franklin is, I think he's met them twice. So I do think they are keeping their eye on him. The problem is it's which wide receiver is available, depending. It's obviously a very dynamic situation. So I think they suspect that someone like Brian Thomas may not get to 28. So, and the big problem the Bills have is their draft pick in the second round is quite low as well. So if they want someone like Franklin, they can't wait because he doesn't go bottom of the first, he'll go top of the second. So for me, it was like, we got to take him now or else we won't get him at all. So that's why I went there.
Like my thinking would be that I'd imagine the Bills might consider if Thomas is there, because I think you're right, with the likes of Franklin, what they might do is they might try and trade down and get him at the top of the second and shift this to someone who's maybe interested in coming in and getting a fifth-year option on Penix or something like that. I would consider, if Thomas is sitting on the board as he is on both me and Ronan's, that they might consider trying to get up to the likes of the Eagles or something and trading to get them there before. If the Chargers, say, have made a trade and they haven't taken a wide receiver, that they might try and jump ahead of them. But I think the Bills are looking at wide receiver. It's just going to be a matter of how the board falls. Lions,
they're looking for. Like, they're looking for a certain type of receiver. I think they're looking for someone who can take the top off the defense because they lost Gabe Davis initially. Mm. Like, that's what they need him to be initially. But they're also...
Although, like, to a certain extent, Samuel fills that a little bit for them. He's quick still.
He's a gadget guy kind of around the line of scrimmage, which is not what they need, because, like, the offense will be more around that. But I do think they're just, like, Shakir and Samuel are the two best wide receivers, and neither of them are proper deep threat. They don't have the right running and the upside to be that kind of proper deep threat, and hopefully, ideally, someone with the wide receiver upside that they lost with Stephon Diggs. Yeah. I think Brian Thomas is a good fit for that. Franklin's a good fit. Donnie Mitchell, if he's here, is a good fit for that, compared to some of these other guys who maybe would be, you know, easier to use early on, but don't have that upside, basically.
Yeah. Lions up next. I've got them going safety with Tyler Nubbin, and you've got Kool-Aid McKinstry, Sean. The defensive backfield is a concern. Obviously, there's off-season issues, and they've lost one of their corners, so I think they'll be
forget the analysis. You have to think of the guy with the coolest name is going to go to the coolest team. Therefore, the Lions will trap Kool-Aid McKinstry. Also, I think Brad Holmes has, like, drafted cornerbacks in, like, each of the last three drafts, so he really likes his cornerback, so it just made so much sense to me, that one.
And you've got Robinson going to them, Chop, isn't it? No, sorry, it's Darius.
No, that's
Robinson.
The other Robinson. Yeah, not even the coolest Robinson. So this pick's gonna be wrong for me according to Sean's analysis, but, like, look, I think, like, it's hard to pick with the line, you know, it's high character guys. Robinson's a guy who's been rising up boards apparently a lot. So
I will say, given recent news, I maybe wouldn't assume that Lions picks are high character guys.
Well, high character on the field, you know. They leave it all out in the field.
Yeah,
but they do leave on the rest of the world is left to the imagination. Anyway, Tyler Nubin, bit of a reach here, I would say, but, you know, I think he kind of fit, like, he's like everything good about him, except he's a bit slow, so that also kind of feels Lionsy to a certain extent.
Yeah, sure, we'll see. Ravens up next. Bizarrely, this always happens every year. We have one late pick that we all agree on. We've just all decided to give him Tyler Guyton. The offensive lineman. I think
they need offensive linemen.
They do.
Like, they lost all of them, and, you know, they can survive. Like, you know, we've seen them survive without having all the weapons. Like, they're okay. Like, they've drafted a lot of weapons. Like, they're still probably a little thin there.
Yeah.
But I think this is a team that wants to ground and pound you, and they just lost the.
And I think they might be in the hunt for a defensive lineman here, but there's not really the value in the ones that are sitting on any of our boards. So I think that's why I have them there. 31st pick, second last pick of the draft. It's the 49ers. Sean has them taking offensive lineman Jordan Morgan, but myself and Fitz have another trade happening. Slightly different trades. So in my mock, the Raiders jumped ahead of the Broncos and got their quarterback. So the Broncos took a corner, and they're going to use some of the stuff that they've picked up and possibly a future pick to shift up and trade with the 49ers, and they're going to take quarterback Michael Penix Jr. and a relatively similar situation, but sub in Raiders for Broncos for Fitz. Yeah?
Yeah, so I have the Raiders trading into the first round with the 49ers and picking Penix Jr. I think he's a good fit for what I kind of get the feeling Antonio Pierce football is on offense, which is run the ball hard, set up the play action, throw it deep. And while I think Penix is maybe a little bit overrated in terms of his deep ball, the technique, like he need to work on his mechanics, kind of go through the Josh Allen treatment. I think he suits, like he's big, strong, throws the ball well down the field, shred and spread, that kind of feels like, spread and shred, that kind of feels like Raiders football. I don't know if it'll work, but it feels what Raiders football is all about.
Yeah, I think the Broncos are reaching here because they realize even though they've got a lot of rope, it has been two seasons and they've not really gotten there. They'll look at this as a slightly more developmental thing, but I would imagine that they kind of have their hand forced and probably have to have him starting by the back half of the season or so.
No one's really fallen to the 49ers in either draft, so
yeah.
I think they're like happy enough to move into the early second round and get on from
there. Yeah, of all of the picks, this was the one I'm like, I just don't really know what the 49ers are going to do with the 31st pick. So giving it away for if Michael Penix is still on the board, I think it makes a huge amount of sense. Hmm. I went with Jordan Morgan simply because it's a lot of mock drafts have been doing with it. Basically, I think they've got some contract issues where they're going to need to move on in terms of their linemen soon, and obviously protect the rookie, or not the rookie, Brock Purdy. He's not a rookie anymore, but even though he plays like one. Protect Brock Purdy. He's on a rookie contract, is I think what's in my head. So, yeah.
No,
so protect Brock Purdy was how it went. But I can definitely, now that I see what you guys have done with this pick, I'm like, that makes so much more sense just to go give it away in exchange for a whole bunch of second and third round.
And then, of course, the obvious value to the teams moving up here is that with a first round pick, they get a fifth year option so they can control the quarterback for longer, so that'll be what the value will be of them hopping up here to grab him, because I think otherwise he would be falling into the second, but they just go, we got jumped, we might as well take this guy, and he probably needs a bit of work, so we'll get an extra year in the contract.
I haven't done too much research on Jordan Morgan. I read a draft profile on him for a little bit, but it's just a boring name. I don't know, didn't get the blood going, No offense to the guy, he'll probably be going day two and he'll probably be a good player, but I don't know. Jordan Morgan,
I think there's some question.
There's a proper name.
I think there's some issues about how Morgan's skills would translate to the pro game, but other than that, I don't think there's an awful lot. I don't think there's an awful lot on him, to be honest with you. Mm. I don't think he's a very exciting pick in general. Yeah.
And finally, we have the Kansas City Chiefs, who are definitely in the hunt for a wide receiver. It might be if it falls that they look at tackle here, but I think particularly in all of our drafts, what's best value at this point is, although we've got a Donny Mitchell for myself and for Ronan, and Sean's gone Xavier Worthy, both of these would make a huge amount of sense to me in the offense they want to run. I think if they're not picking a wide receiver here, they might be trying to trade down a little bit and pick up a few raffle tickets in the second, or possibly even into the third instead. But I think any of these would be a good fit.
Yeah, the mock drafts, that's a popular pick to give them, like Ladd McConkey, who's perhaps more of a safer pick, kind of more all-round receiver. But get the speed, get the upside, get the
excitement.
I know they already got Hollywood Brown, and Rashi Rice is obviously kind of the underneath guy, and he's obviously in a bit of trouble this year. But I don't know. Just make it happen. I just want them to have the fun times, They can win with whoever anyway, it's fine. And Xavier Worthy obviously broke the 40 record at the combine, so him and Hollywood Brown would be an interesting pair
pretty,
for sure on the outside.
Pretty speedy. Very good. So that's our first round. I'll just quickly run you through what the consensus pick is. So this is what our AI interface that's powered by blockchain and bitcoins has come up with us. So Bears take Caleb Williams, Commanders take Jalen Daniels, the Patriots take Drake May, Cardinals first wide receiver off the board, Marvin Harrison Jr., Chargers go offensive line with Fuaga, Giants take Malik Nabers, the Titans take Joe Alt, the Falcons get an edge rusher in Dallas Turner, the Bears go Rome Odunze at wide receiver, the Jets take Brock Bowers, he falls all the way down to them, the Vikings take JJ McCarthy, the Broncos take Bo Nix, the Raiders take Terrion Arnold, the Saints take Fashanu on the offensive line, the Colts pick up a cornerback in Mitchell, Seahawks pick up Troy Fontenot, the Jaguars take edge rusher Latu, the Bengals pick up offensive lineman Latham system. The Rams grab Byron Murphy to replace their interior pressure. The Steelers grab Jackson Powers Johnson to help out their run game and hopefully keep their quarterbacks upright. The Dolphins grab Graham Barton for the same reason. The Eagles pick up Nate Wiggins to help the defensive backfield. The Vikings grab Sertan Newton to kind of help them on the interior defensive line. The Cowboys take Mims because they just love offensive linemen. The Packers go Cooper DeJean because where else would you put the white cornerback? The Buccaneers take Demenius Robinson on the defensive line. Chop! The Cardinals take Kool-Aid McKinstry, wasting his name, but making it very funny when he's wearing the jersey. The Bills take wide receiver Brian Thompson Jr. and get, unfortunately, a lot better. The Lions grab Darius Robinson, the edge rusher. The Ravens take Tyler Guyton for their offensive line. Jordan Morgan helps out the 49ers on their line, and the Chiefs take Donnie Mitchell to try and speed up that offense. That's a pretty nice all-round setup there. I think some of our picks will be right. Not sure how many.
I think Caleb Williams will be correct.
And then I think it's going to come down to who calls one or two of these trades right, because the trickle-down effect is going to kill us. I think in actuality we're going to see about six trades in the first round, and I think there's going to be a fuck ton of them in
there. It does feel like it could be a very active.
I think the section 16 to 26 is where a lot of action is going to happen, because there's a lot of people who are going to want to move up for players that are falling. And there's a lot of teams that don't have a lot of picks that would happily move back and pick up a few more. This is a deep draft. This is a good draft to have multiple top 100 picks in.
Exactly. I think that's one of those ones where moving down, you don't feel too bad if you have a need at these high important positions like wide receiver or cornerback, or whatever like that.
Yeah. Or even linemen. Great.
I think it's going to be a fun draft.
It's a far cry from some of the ones where we've been like, oh, right, and then we're going to our eighth offensive lineman because there's fucking no skilled players available. This is an exciting draft. Whatever your team needs, as long as it's not a linebacker or a safety, you're good.
Or running back.
There's plenty of running backs. It's just that they're devalued. Like, I think we'll find starting quality running backs. I think it's just that collectively teams aren't valuing the position. That, like, if this was 10 plus years ago, some of these running backs would be a lot higher. But it's just the value of the positions dropped off massively, I think. But basically, to
be a first round running back, you need to be Saquon, Bijan Robinson. There's just none of those guys, so it's like fair enough.
Right, that'll wrap us up. Any plans for the next little while, lads? It'll be a while before we come back and chat to them, because we do record a post-draft review, but we never publish it because we like to keep some secrets for ourselves.
We'd have to cry it out and own an attitude.
We basically just don't do one because we think if we leave it long enough, people have forgotten.
So I think our next one is scheduled for late June, early July, which is around the time I'll be moving back to Cork.
We might have to all come down to Cork and do a live cast from there or something, or do us all in the room at least.
We'll do every single division review at one go.
Oh, my God. Kill me now. Excellent. Well, I'm sure we'll have lots of fun over the coming weeks and everything. But obviously, there'll be a bit of a break between now and our next set of ones. So we'll pop something up to let you know. But like I said, probably be about a month and a half before our next one's out.
Certainly we'll be starting with whatever the Patriots and the rest of the AFC East decide to do in the draft and free agency. And
we'll be starting our division by division previews. Yeah, so that'll be good fun. But yeah, so I suppose it's now time for our proper kind of post-season break. So it's bye from myself, bye from Ronan.
Bye.
Bye from Sean.
Bye.
This has been All Four Quarters, and we'll talk to you whenever we see you next time.